Amen. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to read here first from the King James Version. Verse 8 and 9. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not his Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So let's just bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to be in your presence this morning, this great Easter morning, believing it may be our last one here. And so, Lord, we're just looking for the going home, and we just want to get out of this pest house. And so we ask that this would be a blessed day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this is number 161. I entitled this Resurrection Life. Notice we read, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, the word flesh is kind of a bad word to you because it sounds like, you know, just your body. And, of course, we're in this body until we're out of this body in the resurrection. So it doesn't have to deal with this body. It has to deal with who you are, okay, which is yourself. So then they that are into self cannot please God. But you are not into self, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, if you're not born again, you're not even in the family, okay? Now, these words are very important for us to understand. What the Apostle Paul is telling us here is that if you are into self, you cannot be into God. And thus, you are not even born again. He says, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, you will not be into self, but you will be into the Spirit. And if you are not born again of God's Spirit, then you are none of his. So now I think these are resurrection words the Apostle Paul is telling us here, because he's telling us, you know how that you can tell whether the Spirit of Christ has come into your life or not and taken over living your life for you or not. That's what he's saying here, is if you're into self, you're not born again. Okay, the Spirit of God has come into you. And if you have received the Spirit of resurrection life into your mortal body, then you will surely die to self and live unto Christ. Now, let's continue reading from Romans 8. We'll pick up at verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, for the next few minutes, I would like to do a comparative study of this verse from several translations, because the wording of the King James Version is somewhat confusing. First, let me read from a version called the Weiss Translation. It says, but as you who are not in the Spirit, excuse me, as for you, you are not in the sphere of sinful nature, but in the sphere of the Spirit, provided that the Spirit of God is resident in you. But assuming that the person does not have Christ's Spirit, this one does not belong to him. But assuming that Christ is in you, on the other hand, the body is dead on account of sin, but on the other hand, the human spirit is alive on account of righteousness. And assuming that the Spirit of the one who raised up Jesus from among the dead is in you and resident in you, he who raised up from among the dead, Jesus Christ, will make alive your mortal bodies through the agency of the Spirit who is resident in you. So then, brethren, we are those under bondage, not to the sinful nature, to live habitually under dominion of the sinful nature. For assuming that by the Spirit you have habitually putting to death the deeds of self, and you will live. Now, what I'm seeing here, is that when you are born again and God begins making your body come into obedience to his word, something happens within us that is like flipping on a switch on the on position. Where you were once tied to your flesh and living in sin, you are not lit up by the power, you are now lit up by the power of the resurrection life that is now living in you. All right, so Jehovah Jireh, Brother Brown says, God help that he'll turn the little switch in your heart tonight. Friends, this needs, this week you've been seeing the great Holy Spirit among us. There's no question to it, to that. But, oh, let that little light be turned on, okay? So he's talking about a switch here. From Shalom, he says, oh, church, turn to the Word of God. Get back to the Word. Flip the right switch. Quit punching around on electric lights. See, artificial, man-made. And then from he says, turn on his Word and see the promise of today. And then when the promise is, and watch for its identification. When it's vindicated, then you will know whether your light is on or not. From Jehovah Jireh, there's a man here that is among us tonight, the Holy Spirit. He can turn on the lights. He is the Word, a man here that can turn on the light. I don't know how he'll do it. It's not for me to know, but he knows how to turn the switch on. He made the promise. And now that the switch has been flipped on, you are no longer tied to your sinful nature of your flesh that was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth to the world speaking lies. But rather now, your focus is entirely upon him who has taken over your mortal being. Now, Brother Branham calls this thing that happens the resurrection power of God within you. From his sermon, The Token, Brother Branham said, the token is the resurrection power, showing that Jesus raised up from the dead, and you are raised from the dead, and the dead things of the unbelief have been made alive in the word of Jesus Christ. You believe it, and the word lives through you. Again, Brother Branham speaks of the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. In his sermon, The Comforter, he says, what is it? God's word anchored in your flesh that gives you eternal life, that gives you the resurrection power to bring you from the things of the world, from the blind traditions of man, to walk in the sunlight of the nature of the health of God. That's what the Comforter does. It lifts you out of that cellar condition. It brings you up in the presence of God and gives you an experience with God that you can scream with Job of old, I know my Redeemer liveth. Then if we see his word and we refuse to walk in the light as he is in the light, then our fellowship with God is cut off. But when we see the light and walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So notice the word of the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, 9, 11, from the version called The Message. And while reading, I want you to focus on the resurrection power that comes into you when God's Spirit enters in and dwells within you. And remember, this is the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from among the dead. So it is the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in you. So from The Message, it's actually called The Message Bible. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. For you who have welcomed him and whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the living and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, as he does surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from the dead life. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. So when God's resurrection Spirit comes into your vessel to live, Paul tells us it brings with it the same resurrection power that raised up Jesus from the dead. Now, this is important to understand, because if we are living in the hour that shall see those which are asleep raised up from the grave, and those who are alive until then shall receive a change in their body. Well, from his sermon, Jehovah Jireh, Brother Brown said, when you touch him, the high priest of your confession, who is a great seed of Abraham through God's promise, then you take on his Spirit in the fullness of his resurrection power. He fills you and charges you with his goodness and mercy and power of faith to call anything that's contrary to God's promise as though it isn't even there. Don't even look at it. March on. Amen. And again, from another sermon called Acts of the Holy Spirit, Brother Branham said, when a man's ever born truly of the Spirit of God and and from the crown of his head to the ends of the of his toenails, he's been changed by the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his own selfish ideas have faded away. And God has not complete control of a man. He will believe every written word of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and practice the same. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Amen. Now, notice he says he's been changed by the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his own selfish ideas have faded away. That means he has to die to self, and the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ is now in control. Then Brother Branham, from his sermon, earnestly contending for the faith, he says, look, you can be the as fundamental. People preach the virgin birth, the death, burial, resurrection, second coming. That's true. I couldn't fuss with you about that. You believe it, and it's the truth, and I do. So did Balaam. So did Israel. But what Balaam failed to see there, down in this camp, they had signs and wonders following them. That's what they failed to say. They're just as fundamental as we are. They believe it just the same as we do, but they deny that there is a resurrection power working among the people. Well, did the Holy Ghost speak that it would be that way? Well, Paul said in the last days they'd be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. Hallelujah. So, you see, if you don't have the new birth, it doesn't matter if you follow the message of William Branham. 2 million people followed the message of Moses, and they perished. So you've got to have the new birth. You've got to have God's life in you, okay? Now, notice he said they failed to see it and they failed to say it. Yet God said he would make our body to obey our confession. But they failed to say it because they failed to see it. You see, Brother Bram, remember, he said they can read the same Bible that you read. They've got the same word of God that you've got, but they can't see the manifestation of it. So as it was in the days of Daniel, he saw the end of the 70 years, and he saw that Israel had been in bondage for 70 years, and he saw the end of it. So, but the others didn't, you see. And William Branham saw certain things in this scripture that others didn't see, all right? So, in other words, you can read it, but if the Holy Spirit is not in you to quicken it to you to the hour at which you live, it doesn't make any difference, okay? Now, the Apostle Paul continues to say in verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to self, to live after self, for if you live after self, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of self, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So again, every time you see the scripture refer to self, refer to your flesh. It's not talking about this body. It's talking about who you are as a person, body, soul, and spirit. Okay? So what is leading you today? Is it self or is it the Spirit of God? Now, verse 15 says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, which is God's Spirit, itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that's why we're going home, all right? And the way God's Spirit will bear witness with our spirit is when God is living your life for you, and he will bear witness with your spirit, that your spirit is truly in sync with his Holy Spirit when your actions are Holy Ghost actions. Now, Brother Branham said in his sermon, Rising of the Sun, he said, first now, notice, we are redeemed by him and now risen with him. That's what Easter means to the people, risen with him. Now, notice now, we have his spirit in us. The abstract deed is fully paid. No, you don't say, well, I hope I make it. You've already made it. Not I will make it. I've already made it. I never made it. He made it for me. See, not me, him. Well, Brother Branham says, they say, well, I don't care what they say. He made it for me. That's all I want to. I'm caring about. I just want to see him manifested. How you can call him down. No, he's in you. And see, he's in you. Well, Lord, if I can get myself out of the way, you can manifest myself. How can you do it? Because you ordained it. all the Father has given me will come to me. Notice, glory. Yes, so we are ordained to it. He ordained that we would be sons of God, who would be manifest to the world that they were sons of God. He ordained that there would be a people who would be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. He ordained it, and he ordained that there would be a people who received the spirit of adoption and would be positionally placed in the family. And he is not talking about in the millennium. He is speaking of this hour. That is what Brother Branham said in a sermon explaining healing in Jairus. He said, devil's just trying to scare you out of something. He's trying he's trying to put you something off somewhere else. Say, some of these days that you'll be this or you are, but he says, you are now. Now we're sons of God. Now we're seated in heaven places. Now we have all power in heavens and earth. See, now we have it, not in the millennium. We won't need it then. We got it now. We're right. Right now we are sons of God. It does not appear what we shall be, but we know that we'll be like him. See, that's a problem with Christianity today, is that people are always looking down in the future, and they're failing to recognize what God in his spirit is doing among us right now. Okay? What you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those who he has called, he has justified. Is that right? Those who he justifies, he has glorified. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. Whew, wasn't that deep, all right? Well, we'll find out whether it is or not. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Is that right? That's right. So right now, and what we are there is a reflection, or here, excuse me. What we are here is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. So if your deeds are evil, you know where it comes from. You know where your other body is waiting. And then in the next paragraph of the Rising of the Sun, Brother Brown said, with all that evidence collected within us, now this morning, I think of that song, on that resurrection morning when death's cords will be broken, we shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. You believe that? We shall rise. In him we become part of him, the Easter, the revealed secrets of God, like it was then, of life after death. We are now alive who were once dead in trespasses and sin, in trespasses. The true Easter seal has broke death from around me, and I'm alive. The Easter seal at the beginning broke the seal of the Roman seal, the Easter seal, that he was sealed up. And man, when they die, has gone, but he broke the seal and revealed the secret. And now God, by his Holy Spirit, has broke the seal from around us, from around our lives. And Christ is revealed that he lives in us, for now we are quickened with him. We shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise, amen. On that resurrection morning when death's bars are broken, we shall rise, hallelujah, we shall rise. Aren't you glad? Amen. I'm so glad, way down yonder in a little old coal shed one morning, the seals were broken and I raised up with him a new creature. His quickening power, the sun's up. And now let's skip ahead to paragraph 127 of the Rising of the Sun, where Brother Brown says, and now you are already resurrected. When God raised him up, he raised you. The sun is just now on you. And now you're growing into a blossoming life like he was to be resurrected completely in the last day. Your potential that you have now. What do you know? Your soul changed, didn't it? Your body come into obedience to it, didn't it? In obedience to what? A church? No, the word, which is the life. You see, when you find yourself constantly going to the word, there's something living in you that wasn't there before, okay, but is now. Then you are now resurrected from the dead. It is Easter and Jesus and I. It's Easter with you and Jesus. It's Easter with you and I and Jesus. We're all, Jesus, you, and I, we're all resurrected together, and we will rise in the last day when even though our spirits leave our body, even though the body's rust may go to the dust, may be burnt up, may be in the bottom of the sea. The Bible said an angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and everything that dried or that died came up. Now, there's nothing can hide us or separate us from the love of God that we love so well, that's raised us up together. Now, this is really beautiful what Brother Branham is saying here. Notice he said, now you are already resurrected. Then he said, and now you're growing into a blossom. And then he raised up, why do you know your soul changed, didn't it? Your body come in obedience to it, didn't it? Into obedience to what, a church? The word, which is alive. Then you are now resurrected from the dead. So how do you know? See, it's one thing to know about salvation. It's another thing to know that you know. In other words, you know that you know because it's living in you. It's not just, you know, intellectual. Well, I know that Jesus died 2,000 years ago, and so I know the pillar of fire came in this hour, and we had a prophet, and glory to God, we had a prophet and a message and everything else. That's not good enough. It's got to be living in you, you see? You know, it wasn't all good for the people that were outside the ark when the ark was taken, okay? They had to be in the ark, all right? Now, we see in Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So how does the Spirit, notice he didn't say a Spirit, the Spirit, which always, when the article the is used before the word Spirit in the Bible, it means the God who is the Spirit, okay? But if the word a is used before, it's talking about just the Spirit, okay? So how does God's Spirit witness with our spirit? Now, that's a good question. He is the Word and He is the life. And when we are born again and filled with His Spirit, His life, it brings our bodies subject to His Word. And we actually see manifested in our body His Word and His life. Now, Brother Branham, from his sermon, The Second Seal, he said, when Jesus incarnates Himself in His people, the very life that was in Christ is in this person. What would it do if you took the life out of a grapevine and put it into a pumpkin vine? It wouldn't bear pumpkins no more, it'd bear grapes. See, what if you took the life out of a peach tree and put it in a pear tree? Would it bear pears? No, it would bear peaches. The life tells what it is. You see, that's why Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. You know, you can go to church, you can profess and everything else, but you're living in adultery. Your life shows that you're not, okay? If you're a sinful man and smoke and drink and all those things that are attributes of sin, it just shows that you're not, okay? When you hear people say they got the Holy Ghost and deny this word, there's something wrong. The Holy Ghost wrote the word. And Jesus said, if a man has my spirit in him, he will do my works. You want to read that? If you want to put it down, it's St. John 14:12. Yeah, that's right. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, even more than this shall he do, for I go to my Father. See, then he sanctifies and cleans him so that he can stand before God. That drop of ink falls there and takes him across the chasm. Now watch Satan, when he incarnates himself in his subjects, they do the works that he did. Don't you see it? What he did. Come right to that innocent woman to deceive her. And that's exactly what the same devil does. He comes right into a place and say, a little pastor gets started out somewhere and come and say, if you just join up with us, see, the same devil's work. Now, that's the truth. And when Satan becomes incarnate into his church, if there be a devil, then they are the ones that does the murdering and the killing and so forth, because Satan is a killer in the first place. He's a liar. What does Satan do when he becomes incarnate among the people? It's his duty to be shrewd. He is shrewd. You search the Bible and you show me where God ever dealt with intellectual people. Now, one of the messages I have prepared, but it's like 30 from now. So anyway, the Lord has been very gracious to me in giving me a lot of His Word. Well, anyway, so we're dealing with, you know, the scripture that says, by their fruits you shall know them, all right? And looking at what has taken place, you look back in the 80s it all began, okay? Actually, in 88, okay, you had Jim Baker, you know, he went off. You had Gary Hart. His presidential bid was canceled because of adultery. All right, you had Jimmy Swaggart, you know, he also ruined his ministry because of his sexual perversion. But then 10 years later, what happened? Bill Clinton, and then 4 years after that, you have George Bush with his little pages. And then you have Barack Obama with his homosexuality. So every 10 years, it just seems like it doubled under her double and under her double. So you see, it's all coming down to a head. We are now seeing what Brother Branham, as a prophet, as a son of man, he came forth sowing seed, okay? So we are now seeing the manifestation of those seeds that he brought, okay? And it's all happening before us. So anyway, what he's saying here, if God is going to incarnate his people, you're going to see signs and wonders. If Satan incarnates his people, what does he become incarnate in the people? It's his duty to be shrewd, okay? He's a shrewd politician. He's a shrewd liar, okay? He's a shrewd killer. You know, they're killing people, you know, with everything, with science and everything else in this day, see? Hunt for it and see if it isn't always the intellectuals that the devil possessed. It's a big word, but it's true. I challenge you to take the lineage from Abel to Cain and then 14 generations, run them out and see which ones was the smart side and which ones was the humble ones. Now, he didn't say dumb, he said humble, all right? Now, listen to the words of Jesus in Luke 17:47. Woe unto you, you build the sepulchres of the prophets and your fathers kill them. In other words, they're the great architects, the great engineers, and they're doing the great works of society and building the sepulchres of the prophets, but their fathers are the ones that put them in there. Truly you bear witness that you allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed kill them, and you build their sepulchres. Therefore, also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of the prophets, which was shed from foundation of the world, may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you lawyers, for, and that's, you know, it's incredible that he says these things, because see, lawyers today are politicians. You know, almost all the politicians have a law degree, and they've confounded their laws so much, and they've used law fair to attack people and stuff like that, and they just made mockery of it. But he says, woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge, and you enter not in yourself, and them that are entering in you have hindered. For as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Now listen again to the words of William Branham in his sermon, The Second Seal. And when a man turns down the gospel truth, Satan marks him. Where? At his ear. He deafens him so he can't hear the truth no more. And he's finished. My, he stays with that group that he's with. And if you won't hear the truth, no, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth makes you free. God marks his when they come. God marks his by vindicating his promised word through them. That's exactly St. John 14:12. And another thing that you want to put down, Mark 16. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, Brother Ram tells us, the way that God marks his own is with signs and wonders following. And then listen to what he tells us next, because there are some who would have you believe God limits that to just apostles or just his prophets. But that is not what God said. I can show you where God said it now. You show me where he took it back. Now listen to what Brother Ram says next here. He says, because he's telling you exactly what I said. Now, let us just take that a minute. Was he joking? No. Did he just mean apostles, as some would tell us? No. It seems to me that congregations had more on the ball than some congregations. Yet ministers and laity will tell you, oh, those people in the Bram Tabernacle, they don't understand the doctrine, they don't understand the teaching. They don't. They sure got it right on this doctrine. I don't know any of them who deny the presence of Christ in this hour through Brother Bram's ministry, do you? Now, listen as we hear the prophets continue. Watch, read the background of it. Go ye into where? All the world. Preach this gospel to what? Every creature. It has not even one third of the way have met it yet. These signs shall follow them that in all the world to every creature, wherever this gospel be preached. These signs shall follow them that believe, not just to one little handful. Like a fellow one time tell me, God only gave the 12 apostles gifts of healing. Oh, many of the brethren is sitting here when he raised up to say that, see? But he got enough of it in a few minutes. So now, notice, all the world to every creature, these signs shall follow them. Okay? Don't take Satan's unbelieving mark. Now, he will put it on you tonight if he can do it. He will poke you up against the wall, and you'll walk out of it and say, oh, I don't know about that. But you'll go home and study it. And then be sincere and pray, because everything is too perfectly scriptural at this very hour, this sacred hour of time. It's done, been for years, and it's been proved. Comes right up to it, and this is the hour. This is the time. Now, don't let them poke that in your ear, his unbelieving mark, see? Because he was an unbeliever to begin with. He doubted it. All right. And, oh, don't even let him take the scripture with his wisdom and twist it and pervert it with his own wisdom into reasoning power. You just be humble and say, God says so, and that's all there is to it. Notice Brother Branham is speaking in terms of the very life expressed is the very word manifested or vindicated. Then when we are filled with his spirit, your body cannot help but express John 14:12, because the word is a life in you, and the expression of the word is the expression of the life. And then he goes into the other spirit and the other life, which is the life of Satan, and says when Satan incarnates a person, that person will do the works of Satan. So you're either going to manifest God life or Satan life, and you can't get around it. We can prove it by scripture. So turn with me to John 8:37. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. So there are people that the word of God has no place in them, okay? I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. And they answer that unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Well, what if you're God's children? You're going to do the works of God. There's no way to get around it. That's what the Bible teaches, all right? Every seed after his kind, okay? But now you seek to kill me, a man that have told you the truth, which I have not heard of, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We're not serpent seed. We have one father, even God. So see, Jesus is even telling them, look, you're going to do the actions that proceeded from the seed of which you are. Now, if you're a watermelon, you're not going to look like a grape. You're going to look like a big watermelon, okay? If you're a pumpkin, you're going to look like a pumpkin. If you're a cucumber, you're not going to be round. You're going to be long, you know? And so you're going to live out the nature that's in you. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? So there are people who cannot hear the word of God. 1 Corinthians 2 says that if you have the Spirit of God, you will understand the things of God. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, you will not understand the things of God. So he says, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your fathers he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, thou hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my father, and you dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou art a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophet's dead. And thou sayest, if a man keepeth my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, whom thou makest thyself? And Jesus answered them, if I honored myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say he is your God. Yet you have not known him. But I do know him, And if I should say that I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Who was speaking out of Jesus? God was speaking out of Jesus. God was in Christ, reconciling the world. Then took they stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went into the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now notice how Jesus tells them, if God were your father, you would know the truth. You would know the word that spoke of him. And that is what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, when he told us, no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. In other words, if you are not born again by the Spirit of God, and God's own Spirit is living in you, then there is no way for you to understand the things of God. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, it is impossible for the unregenerate mind to know the things of God. It can only be done by the Spirit of God living in you. Now, 1 Corinthians 2 and 10 says, But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. See, that's God's Spirit. God's Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man except the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither indeed can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, it is impossible for any man to know the things of God unless the Spirit of God is in him. That means the life of God must be in him, for it matters not what he thinks that he knows. Without the Spirit of God, you are only guessing, and you are not even capable of knowing. From the rising of the sun, Brother Brown said, What good would it do any of you whether you had lent or not lent, if there is no life in you? It's only a memorial, which there's nothing against it, but they have certainly carried out their traditions, but left off the main thing. Satan doesn't care how religious you are or how right you are in your doctrine. If you miss that life, you won't come up anyhow. That's what Brother Vail told me before he went off the scene. He said, you know, Brian, he said, we know the doctrine, we've taught the doctrine, we believe the doctrine, but now we've got to teach the life, because without the life, the people will not make it. All right? So no matter how religious, how good, how many churches you belong to or will belong to, it doesn't matter one thing unless you have been born again. Therefore, if God raised up Jesus from the dead, did he raise him up for a memorial? And is this resurrection morning only a one day in the year or a certain day that we celebrate this? Or are we benefactors of his resurrection? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? Now we find that by faith that he raised from the dead, but what has that got to do with me? That was 2,000 years ago. That was another person. What has it got to do with you? And from his sermon, Who is this Melchizedek? He said, Before the foundation of the world, his name's put on the Lamb's Book of Life. Then from that, he becomes the Word, the Theophany, that could appear and disappear. And then he become flesh and return back again in resurrected that same body in a glorified condition. But you bypass the Theophany and become flesh man to be tempted by sin. And then if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. We have not yet the body. But look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body into subjection to God. And who's God? He's the Word. He that's born again doth not commit sin. He cannot sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh or after self, but after the Spirit. There you are. See, that throws your body into subjection. And you don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking, or if I could just get into Christ, it's all. See, because your body is subject to the spirit. It's no more subject to the things of the world. They are dead. They are dead. Your sins are buried in baptism and you are new creation in Christ. And your body becoming subject to the spirit. Try to live the right kind of life. And from paragraph 22 from Rising Sun, then he said, when he come forth on that morning, because I live, you will live also. Not only was he the beneficiary of the resurrection, but all those seeds that was resting in God's great providence was a benefactor of the resurrection to life. Because he said, because I live, you shall live also. That was the breaking of the seal. Because he was brought up, so will everyone that's in Christ be brought up with him. So at this great sunrise, God had proven or vindicated his word. All the glooms and doubts that he had moved in the people's minds was taken away because here he was, he who once lived, eat, drink, and fellowship with mankind that said, I have power to lay my life down and I have power to raise it up again. And now not only had he made that statement, but he proved it to be the truth. Oh, what a glorious thing that is. I'm sure this morning that even who believe it cannot comprehend what a great thing that is. Because he raised from the dead, we also have already raised from the dead, for we were in him. All right, let's just pray. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the resurrection and the life. And Lord, that you are the only source of eternal life. And so we're grateful that we are in your thoughts before the foundation of the world. Because if we weren't in your thoughts, then we're nothing but serpent seed that was interposed or interjected into the human genome. And so there's two races of people today, serpent seed and God seed. And so, Lord, we're thankful to be of your seed, your God seed. And we pray that you'll take us out of here before one missile strikes this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.